Thanks for joining us. We're going to get started. The first hour is the Power Hour. Second hour will be general questions. Calls and questions are starting to come in pretty heavy. So if you want to get in either the first or second hour, I would go ahead and press one on your phone as soon as possible. Let's get started.
Your money, your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry.
This is Trucking Business and Beyond, the show that puts the money where it belongs,
back in your pocket.
Welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. This is the Power Hour. I've got Bruce and John and Ethan joining me from Pittsburgh Power, and we'll take your calls and answer your questions about everything engines, troubleshooting, fuel mileage, upgrades, modifications, maintenance, you name it. We'll talk about it. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call us. We're going to get to those calls in just a couple minutes. I want to bring the guys on and see what they've got this week. Hey, guys, what's up?
Hey, Kevin. How's it going, Kevin? Thank you for having us.
Great to have you, as always. What's new and exciting these days?
Oh, I'm going to start out. Ethan has something he wants to tell you, a really tricky problem that he discovered on a brand new glider that someone else built. But Al Hemerson has a friend out of Humboldt, Iowa, that has a beautiful 1999 379 Pete 310-inch wheelbase, ITC bunk, 6NZ cat, 1.7 total miles on, I think 400,000 since in chassis. I have several pictures. The truck is gorgeous. He's retiring. He's old. And he was a farmer and a maintenance buff. And the price is $70,000 if anyone's interested.
Got it. If you send all that information over, we'll get it posted up on our Facebook page so people can find it.
Okay. We will do that. And Ethan?
Yeah, we had it's a brand new glider. It only has 121 miles on it, so it really hasn't gone too far yet. They just got it up and, running. And, of course, the jakes and the crews quit working already. Now, everything's nice and new, which is really nice to work on there. But what I found was, I went through, poked up the laptop as normal, went through my normal routine, and then didn't really see anything overly too wrong. It was like, okay, this is interesting. And on the work order, it says check clutch. So I look under the truck because that's where the finger switch for the clutch, for the ECM input is on there. And I look up and here it's hitting one of the fuel lines or the return line on the tank. It caught just enough to keep it from pushing up on that switch. So two zip ties later,
yeah,
cut them flush and good to go.
Wow.
The point of that story is everybody's really quick to blame the computer or some sort of programming. And meanwhile, it's a return line that hadn't been tied up quite right.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of those things. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in the complicated answer, we don't even look for the simple answer.
Exactly.
Interesting. Well, that one, I'm glad you found it so quick, because that one could have cost somebody some money and made them a little crazy.
Oh, yeah.
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 We don't even have enough time in it to take longer to write the truck up and pull it in the garage than it did to fix it.
Yeah.
We get those every now and then.
Yeah, well, it's nice when you catch them early. You hate those when you catch them after working on them for 3 or 4 hours.
Well, or three or four days. We once spent fixing someone's blower motor control.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, we have to enjoy those when we get them.
Absolutely. Anything else this week, or should we get to the calls and questions? Looks like we've got bunches.
I haven't got much new for us. I haven't discovered a whole lot this week. Nothing new has jumped out and bit us. We're actually a little slow in the shop, so we're booking like for 2 days ahead or 3 days ahead right now. So if anyone out there needs to get a truck, get some work done, that would be an ideal time to get it over here.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of quiet here this week. I didn't, you know, a lot of weeks I'll get a question that I can't answer and I'll either send them over to you guys or I'll say we'll call back when we're recording the Power Hour. I didn't have any of those this week either. I don't know if it's the election or what. It's just been a strange week.
Yeah.
The truck dealerships in the area in western Pennsylvania have all slowed down about a month ago. So there is that seems to be a tendency right now that things are a little slow across the board.
Yeah, we've been hearing that quite a bit. So we'll see what happens. We should get some pickup from some holiday stuff going on here soon. But, you know, traditionally, this is just the time of year where I know for me, I don't look at getting a lot of business done for the next 2 months. I look at getting a lot of that other work done that you always put off because you don't have time. You know, once the holidays come, it's hard to get anybody to do anything. You know, forget Thanksgiving week. Nothing's going to get done that week. Christmas, New Year, same thing. So it just seems to me like November and December, I set aside for doing all that work that I never get around to.
Well, actually what happens here is people want their engines rebuilt on those weeks, especially between Christmas and New Year's. But that's also the week that mechanics like to take off. So
right.
If you're planning a rebuild, that is not a good week to do it.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's. It's not slow for questions, so let's go ahead and do that. We're going to start off in Idaho. Rod, welcome to the program.
How's it going today?
Good.
My question is, if it's possible. I have got an 04 ISX with a full that I did a full delete on, I don't know, 5 years ago. My only complaint, obviously, which most people will have with this, is the loss of jakes. And is it possible to put an exhaust brake on, like, kind of like what you do on the smaller pickups where it's an actual exhaust brake as opposed to an engine brake?
The answer is no, because I've already tried it, spent a lot of money, okay, many hours, and we actually lost more braking. So the exhaust has to flow through. Your better alternative would be, let's put the VG turbo back on, and I'll let John and Ethan talk about that.
Okay.
Yeah, you just need to put the VG back on there. It's a far superior turbo anyway, and if you're no longer feeding it EGR, if you're not recycling soot through the engine, then you're not going to have any reliability issues with it. And that enables us to program that for performance as well and a little bit better fuel economy. We'll flatten the torque curve right out and give you a whole lot more range. And you also have the third stage of your jake again. So that squeezes that off.
Yeah,
that's
because that was, and honestly, I had called the shop right after you guys first came out talking about putting the VG turbo on the 12.7s. And asked if it could be done, and whoever I spoke to says, no, if we do it, we've got to put everything back on.
No, we don't have to. We've done a couple where we've put we retrofitted the VG back onto it, and it works really good.
Okay, so you can put the VG
more
back
recently.
On
I don't know. I don't know when you called, but yeah, we were able to. We've done.
Well, it would have been whenever you guys came out on the show here a couple months ago about putting the VGs on the 12.7s.
Right. Yeah. So we've since done one or two ISX that have had the VG removed. We've retrofit them back on there, and we're able to program them to do everything it needs to do.
Okay. And would I notice? Do you think I would notice a power loss by going back to the smaller turbo?
No. You're gonna have an increase. Actually, it's not a smaller turbo. That's actually quite a big turbo.
Okay. Yeah. Because I don't know. I don't necessarily know if I need more power, because I know when I had it, I think I had probably 25,000, 50,000 miles on the in-frame when I had it out to you guys put on the dyno. And at that point, we were guessing 800-ish on the power. It was 648 and 2150 foot-pounds at the wheels, the way it sits.
Okay. Right.
So I don't – it's not that I necessarily need any more power, but –
I don't know that you're going to actually have more power, but you're going to have power across a broader range than you have it now.
Okay. And what is, I don't know if you can ask this over the air or not, what would something like this run?
I can't really quote that on the ISX.
Do you have your own turbo?
No, I did that. That's been in the junk pile for 5 years.
Okay. And then we have to start out with a turbo and then the programming. It's probably going to be in the mid-2000 range. How much is
that's an expensive turbo
for an ISX?
Oh, I was going to say the turbo itself is like 21 or 2400.
Nah, even more than that. It's that thing's what year is the ISX again?
04.
Was that the pneumatically actuated or is that electronic?
Pneumatic.
It's pneumatic. Okay, so that one, yeah, that's in 2000 range. It probably 2500 or so for the turbo itself, right?
Okay, well, that will give me something to give some thought to. Because other than that, I mean, I like the truck. I'm happy with my fuel mileage. I'm happy with the power. I mean, it's not great, but I'm year after year running 725, 726 with as high as 10. I did crack 10 one time, but more normally when I'm light, I'm in 8.5 range.
Okay.
Sounds like a runner to me.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. The music's playing. I've got to get to a break. We've got lots more calls and questions right after this. Don't go away. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is the Power Hour. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is the Power Hour. I've got Bruce and John and Ethan with me from Pittsburgh Power, and we're going to get back to your calls. We're going to go to Pennsylvania this time. Guy, welcome to the program.
Hi, how y'all doing today?
Good. What's on your mind?
So I got a 2016 Freightliner Cascadia Evolution with the DD15, and I'm curious about putting the FAS and the bypass filter on it. I checked with Freightliner. They said it would void the warranties, and I wanted to see what Bruce had to say about that. And then I want to see about, it's not a fun truck to drive. She doesn't have a great drivability and stuff, and I wanted to see what I could do about that.
Well, aftermarket parts, especially ones that do not increase horsepower, do not void warranty. So the FAS system will not void the warranty, and neither would the OPS. And as far as programming, I'm going to let John and Ethan answer that question.
The programming definitely would void warranty on there, because if they, you know, took it for a road test and noticed that all of a sudden it felt really fun, they would start digging a little deeper and figure it out. But yes, we do have abilities to make that run better. The problem with it is you avoid your warranty there.
If he's Ethan, if he's got, there may be some settings though. Are there things we could do, like just to simply turn off his progressive shift and such?
It depends how it's set up. We have to see it before we would know.
Because I don't really hear that many drivability complaints, even with stock DD15. So maybe he's got some really lousy settings in there right now.
Could be. Well, I've seen a couple come that way.
This one is a prime incorporated, so it's meant for fuel economy. Everything's done fuel economy. You know, it's got a 10-speed. It's got I think it's 325 rears and stuff. And when you hit any of the hills, especially over here on the East Coast, I mean, you're just all day at 35, 45 miles an hour.
That doesn't sound like fun to me. And if we do give it some power, if you would have to go in for warranty, either stop by us or stop by one of our remote tune locations and let's put it back to the stock.
Oh, hey, okay. Bruce, the DD15 is not one that we could remote just yet. That's one we actually need the ECM off to work with. Yeah.
Okay.
So that needs to come directly into your shop then?
Yeah, yes. You'd have to come back in before you went in for warranty work.
All right, cool. I appreciate it.
All right, good stuff.
Let's
head off to Minnesota. John, welcome to the program.
Hi. What sort of injector rebuilder are you guys recommending right now?
For what kind of injector?
Cummings IS or not Cummings N14. Sorry.
Well, we're using the Cummings Reman injector.
Okay. I thought you guys
Lucas, on the N14 run Lucas fuel conditioner. And okay. The Cummins Reman injectors, and we're not seeing a lot of problems. We did testing for Delphi for the Detroits, so that's the other injector we were talking about.
Okay. I thought that Detroit one was also for the N14, so that answers my question. You guys have a nice... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they're getting into the N14 yet or not, so...
We could look into that.
Today, we'll have to ask them that.
All right. Thank you very much for your guys' time.
Welcome.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Florida. Everson, welcome to the program.
Hey, Gabby. Thanks for taking my call. I have an oil sample that I would like you to go through, but I also have a question about oil temperature. Today, my temperature seems to be going up a little higher than normal. I'm a little concerned. I don't know if the gauge is malfunctioning or I'm not getting any warning, nothing from a truck. But seems to be somewhere between 275 to 80. Is that too high, if that's the case?
So
that's pretty high.
280? 280 is pretty high.
Okay.
What engine?
I mean,
do you
could
have?
Be the gauge. It's a Detroit. It's a 14-liter 05.
Yeah. If it's not throwing a check engine light there, because it should, especially if it gets a 280.
Okay.
It could just be a malfunctioning gauge.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I said. Because if I turn off the truck. The needle, instead of resting on the left side, it actually sits on the right side. So that's a little strange.
Yeah, if it saw 280, it would have shut you down.
Okay. All right, that's good to know. What is the maximum temperature? What is the safe point for the oil?
Okay. John, do you want to answer that one?
You're right about there. 275, 280 is about as high as I ever like to see it. I mean, in racing, we'll run it as high as 300, but that's you're not going to want to see that in a road-going truck here. So definitely, I'd cap it at 275, 280 for sure.
Okay. All right. Hopefully the gauge. I mean, not getting anything from the truck, so must be the gauge.
And your oil pressure is okay? It's not anything out of the ordinary there?
Oh, no. The oil pressure seems to be fine. I'm only a little over 50.
Okay. That's where it's...
I'll jump
it's
in.
It's not actually high by any chance, is it?
I'm sorry?
It's not running higher than normal, is it, the pressure?
No. It's been running on the 50s for a long time.
Okay, good. Okay.
Hey,
The water temperature, I don't know if that matters, but water temperature also is okay. Nothing going up above normal.
Right, okay.
Okay.
I'd look at the gauge first. That seems odd to me that it would be that far.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
And I'll jump in.
Okay.
with the oil sample, and this is another indication that it's not getting that hot. If we see oil consistently running up at that temperature, you'll see clues in the oil sample, and there's none. This is nice and clean. Little bit of lead, nothing to worry about. Little bit of tin, no big deal. The rest of it is just really clean. So I can't believe this oil has been that hot. So we will head off to New York. Mike, it's your turn. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hey, I guess this question is for Bruce. Bruce, what I had you guys do my ECM last year, and I couldn't be happier with the way that this 12-7 runs. Lost a turbo a couple weeks ago, and I had your guys ship me a one of the Pittsburgh Power turbos. It was there the next day. Mechanic was real impressed with it because the volume of it is about 25% bigger than stock. And it seems to be giving me some more torque. I haven't been able to see any difference in mileage yet, but I didn't put the manifold on because it just wasn't within the budget. But I'm wondering, I do need to get in there and have you guys do a few things. Do you have any new ECM programs that in the last year that would help this the performance any, or are we still with the same program that we were using?
How many pounds had of turbo? Okay, go ahead.
You had a factory DDEC 4 turbo on there.
Yes.
Yeah, we can do a few things different there now that you have the upgraded turbo on there. It, you know, it allows us to go a little bit more. The factory turbo, you know, it's horsepower limited, being a smaller turbo.
Right.
You're limited in how much boost you can push with it, because otherwise you'll just blow it to pieces really quickly.
Well, that's kind of what happens.
Yeah, with our turbo, with our turbo, how much boost are you making?
You know, when I'm pulling a hard hill, this is the first heavy load I've had on it. So when I'm putting about 32 to 33.
Okay, yeah, we can push that a little bit more there. I want to bring it up to about 35, 36.
Okay.
And they love the run right there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, yeah. Well, I'm real happy with, you know, that it's you know, when we dynoed it, put it on the Dragon last time, we were putting almost 600 to the ground, and you know, it's not a lot of loaded trucks pass me on the hills. Of course, everybody passes me on the flat because they don't go that fast. But you know, it's been a great experience, guys. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
All right, there's the music. I'm going to get to a break. We will be right back with more stuff. If you want to join us when we're recording our podcast, it's real simple. Just get on our text message list. Text the word LISTEN to 99,000. That's a short code, 99000. Text the word LISTEN, and then every time we're recording, we will send you a text about 15 minutes early with the phone number, and you can join us. We'll be right back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is the Power Hour. I've got Bruce and John and Ethan from Pittsburgh Power with me, and we're answering your questions. We're going to head off to Tennessee. Travis, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Kevin? Thanks for taking my call. I have a problem, like when I'm pulling up a hill, my tractor just falls straight on its base. If I have the cruise control side at about 67, to start back pulling about 62, and I don't know, did I get some bad diesel or But the last time I fueled up, I put some power service injector cleaner in it, and it run like a champ. I mean, it hadn't missed a beat. So I was trying to figure out what was going on with that.
Well, first of all, you didn't tell us what kind of truck or what kind of engine you had.
Okay, a 60 Series Detroit Freightliner Sentra, 2002.
2002. So you've got the D-Deck 4. Okay.
Yeah.
So how many pounds of turbo boost does it make on a hard pull?
30. I got a turbo boost gauge and a pyrometer in here.
Okay. And what's your exhaust temperature?
Okay, that will be the pyrometer. It will be on an 8 as I'm pulling the heel.
8. Okay. All right, if you're at 30 pound of boost, you're right at 500 horsepower. You need to get us the ECM or bring the truck in and let's program it for the 580 horsepower. That's 580 to the ground, and get the bigger turbo on like the gentleman you just heard on the radio. And if money allows, do the manifold turbo and ECM. If you can do them all three at the same time, it's a shocking difference. And then this
yes,
problem
I already have all of that. I have the big turbo, the manifold, the crankshaft damper, and the balancer. I have everything you guys got to sell. The muffler,
okay,
I have
so
all
then,
of that as well.
Then we've got to get your ECM programmed, okay?
Okay, so it will be an ECM problem.
Yep, we have to get the ECM programmed. So can you get in here or overnight at the ECM
yes.
and call us? We'll give you the order number and
there.
You can overnight. Okay.
Okay. But how come the power service made it run better, that diesel injector cleaner?
Well, I don't know. That was good news. I liked hearing that. I usually tell people to put the Lucas cleaner in, but I can't answer that. But I can tell you that you're right now you're stock on power, right at 30 pound of boost. That's what a stock 500 makes. Made it so you can breathe more and get rid of more exhaust with the manifold and turbo. Now we got to give it a little bit more fuel to compensate for that.
Oh, okay. All right, and you guys say you about 3 days. I'm going to have to make a three-day appointment before I get there, or?
Hey, well,
yeah, we're
for,
about 3 days out
that,
right now.
Yeah, even
see,
for,
I'm heading to West Virginia now. West Virginia, if I can get up there, what, maybe sometime this week you can get me in and out, or it'll take a while?
Yes.
Definitely. Yes, if you
no,
get here,
we
so
can get you in
here
today.
Thursday or Friday, we'll be
yeah.
fine. Yep.
Oh, okay. All right, great. Okay, I'll give you guys a call out there.
All right.
All right.
We'll see
okay.
you later this week.
Okay.
All right. Sounds good. Let's head off to Texas. Wojtek, welcome to the program.
Hi. Got a question about my turbo for Bruce. I recently had to rebuild my turbo on the Volvo engine 06. And I also replaced the entire exhaust system from the turbo back. And when I was putting everything back together, I noticed that there's a piece of pipe that kind of decreased the diameter from the turbo to the exhaust, and it's where the pyrometer sits. And in that piece of pipe, there is a metal lip on the inside, about half inch deep. It decreases the inside diameter of that pipe. Why is that? It obviously is going to create more back pressure. And also the same thing on a gasket that is between the manifold and the turbo. The size of the two holes in the gasket is smaller than the two holes in the exhaust manifold and the turbo. I did consider taking a Dremel and cutting it out, size of the original gasket, so I didn't want to do something that truck wasn't designed to do.
Okay. On the gasket, I would take and cut that out. On the pipe, the first piece of exhaust pipe that bolts onto the turbo, the reason on the Cummins ISX, they went down to the 4-inch pipe, and I wasn't sure if Volvo did it or not, because I just don't look at that many Volvos with a Volvo engine. We don't work on them here. But the reason Cummins did it was to increase the back pressure in the engine to force more exhaust through the EGR system. So, needless
to say, that's what it,
Needless to say, we, a lot of them times, we take it back up to a 5-inch pipe.
Okay. It is a 5-inch exhaust, but right before, right after the pyrometer sensor is that metal ring on the inside, and I thought it may have something to do with the pyrometer so that the pyrometer would work properly. I don't know. That's why I was kind of confused about that inside lip on the that pipe.
Sounds to me like it's to increase back pressure.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I also, on that one.
Go ahead.
They don't have a V. I don't think that yours doesn't have a VG turbo. It's just a fixed vane.
No. Yes.
Okay, that's from my memory here, looking at a few of them. Yeah, they're using that to force more EGR through the system because they need to create the back pressure somehow.
Okay. Well, I already fixed the EGR problem.
Okay.
My second question is, I've got 1.97 million on this truck, so I'm probably going to be looking on at an in-frame within a year, maybe year and a half. What is? I know you guys have, you guys do in-frame, and you build an engine, a signature engine or something like that. I heard on the radio sometime back. What is that? Is that like a separate project, or is that something you guys do on a regular basis, and what goes into it?
Okay. Now, you have a Volvo engine, so we do not rebuild Volvo engines because the OEM is very tight with their information. And when I called Volvo to buy the specialty parts, they told me I needed pallets full of parts. So we've elected to stay away from rebuilding of the Volvo engine. Now, on the signature engine, when you're doing an in-chassis, that's not a signature engine. We can put the same components on, but you can't do the line bore and resurfacing of the block. But we can balance the rods and balance the pistons and install the fast fuel system and the ported and ceramic-coated exhaust manifold and performance turbo and the fast fuel system, the OPS oiling system, and the fleet air filter, and, of course, a new torsional damper and engine balancer. That constitutes the signature engine. But
okay.
We use that term for the out of chassis whenever we're building an out of chassis.
Okay, I see.
But if you would come in, if you had a Cummins Cat or Detroit and you came in and said, I want a signature rebuild but in chassis, then that's what we would be doing.
I see. So no bulb. Okay, well, yeah, that's a shame. I'm very personally disappointed with the Volvo dealership network. I don't go to them. Perfect example, yesterday I blew an airbag on the front suspension, and I went, took an Uber to the dealership, got the bag, replaced it myself, took me all 20 minutes. 2 years ago when I blew it the other side, I was at the dealership for an hour and a half. The guy had took the wheel off, took the plastic inside of the fender off to get to it, and it took, I mean, it's a 10-minute job. You just pop it out and put it in. No wrenches necessary, nothing. I mean, it's such a quick and easy fix to replace the airbag. The biggest thing is to lift the frame high enough to get the bag into the bracket. And, you know, the dealers are charging all this labor for, you know, quick 10-minute job.
Yeah.
That's just one.
Yeah, you might want to consider yourself lucky that when you went to the Volvo dealer, they actually had the part. That's the problem I always ran into. The simplest parts, they never stocked anything. Drove me kind of crazy. Let's squeeze in another call. Let's go to Tennessee. Les, welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
With the emission control service that Pittsburgh Power has, have y'all released that protocol to your satellite shops that are doing the tuning?
No, we have not. We just do the after treatment and EGR tune-ups here at the shop.
Okay, because this Cascadia just saved $5,200 more dollars worth of money, and I want to get it fixed. All right, thanks a lot, guys.
All right.
There's the music. We're going to get to a break. When we come back, We're going to get right to more of your calls and questions, so don't go away. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is the Power Hour. All right, so we're heading into the final segment of the Power Hour. If you have general questions, we're going to come back and get to those right after this. So hang on, we'll do another hour. Here we go. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is the Power Hour. I've got Bruce and John and Ethan with me from Pittsburgh Power. We're heading into final segments. We're going to get to as many calls as we can. We are off to Virginia. John, welcome to the program.
Yes, how y'all doing today? My question was I'm looking at buying another truck, putting on the road, and I'm looking at ISX engine, and I'm looking at one about 3 years old, somewhere around 250,000 miles up to 400,000. And I'm just curious, you know, because I was listening to y'all the other day on the fellow that had the International that had the ISX in it and how good it was working. I was curious about Kevin's program. How old a ISX will that work on? You know, if I get one that's, say, 400,000 or 500,000 miles, you know, 4 or 5 years old, is y'all's program going to work on that?
Yes, John, I want you to answer this one.
Absolutely. The, 11 and up? The 2250 came out.
Yeah, 2011 is crossover year.
Yeah, 11 and up. And, you know, if you get one... If you found one with 250, 300 on it, get it right in here, and we'll do the EGR and after-treatment maintenance on it, and we'll give you a nice little tune on top of that. We'll turn off some of the babysitters there in the programming, and you'll have a nice, reliable truck that makes really good power and gets decent fuel mileage.
All right, that sounds great. One quick question. I heard y'all talking to another fellow about the Detroit. Now, I got, this is John from Mississippi. Y'all worked on my truck before.
I recognize the voice every time. Yeah. I spent like two hours looking for the transmission info after I talked to you last, too, by the way.
Oh, really? Did you ever find it?
Yeah. I did not.
Okay.
I did not find it. So maybe Bruce could look on the notes on his desk, too, but he had the numbers, and I looked it up, and it was that wide ratio one that had a low and had the good overdrive, too. But, I recognize you there. So you're thinking about buying an ISX?
Well, I'm thinking about putting another truck on, and after listening to the, because there's a lot more ISX out there, and I've heard a lot of not great things about the DD15 as far as, trying to get work done on them and stuff. But my question on this one was, I've run a pretty heavy load up through the mountains of Virginia last weekend, and my boost gauge is getting up in the now this is on a three setting, it's getting up 42-45 pounds of boost.
That's okay.
Is that
that's
okay?
Fine. Yep.
Well, all right. Well, I've never seen it get up like that before. So I was like, whoa, okay, that's what it's supposed to do then, right?
It's okay to back it off to 36 or 38 pounds, just pick up that foot a little bit. But if it takes that much to pull to finish a hill, then go ahead and use it. I don't know if I would sustain it right there. I kind of like the high 30s numbers better, but You're okay.
Yeah. I try to keep it, around 5 or 6. And when I pull on the hill, try not to get much over 20. Just try to keep my fuel mileage up. But
yeah.
I said, I was running right at grossing right at 80,000. And it pulled them hills.
All right. Well, if you run, there's some good pulls there.
Let's get to New York. Dylan, welcome to the program.
Hello, good morning. Or afternoon, I should say. Yeah, I bought a 2012 Cascadia with a DD15 in it, and shortly after I got it home, I realized it was losing its prime. So recently I've been just using the self-primer under the hood, so I'm not cranking it without starting. And this couple days ago, I noticed some fuel seems to be up near the fuel rail, and I'm thinking I might have a leak right there at those fittings. Would I be okay to just snug those up?
John,
be careful with those. You've got the fitting that goes into the side of the head is the one that goes down into the injector. If that one were to come loose, you'll put fuel into the oil, into the crankcase. So, yeah, go ahead and snug them, but make sure you hold the one that's nearest the engine where it passes through. That's the pass-through fitting that transfers fuel to the injector.
Yeah, that's where it's kind of like almost a U-shaped fitting from the fuel rail into the
Yep.
side of the head, and where it goes into the head is where it looks like it's dripping.
Okay. So maybe back it off. If you got one that it's obvious which one it is, back it off a hair, tighten the portion of it that goes into the head independently, and then tighten the line up that attaches to it.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of one fitting inside of another fitting.
You got it. Yes, it is. Yep.
Okay. Okay, I will try that. Yeah, it looks like it's actually happening on 3 out of the 6 cylinders. Truck sat, I think, for a year. It was a CR England truck, and after I did the rig dig, it looked like it really sat for a year and a half before they sold it. I don't know if that would affect that or not, but...
It shouldn't, but... Yeah, I'd go ahead and use 2 wrenches, back it off first, tighten, make sure the one that goes into the engine is tight first, and then snug up the line where it attaches to it on the inside of it.
All right, let's get to another call. We're off to Ohio this time. Adrian, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you guys doing today? I just had a quick question. Heard a bunch about the VG turbos. I was wondering if it would be worth taking off the twin turbos off a cat and putting a VG on. There's a system for that.
We haven't got a management system for that yet, and that's something we've kind of explored doing. We've got no way to control it with the cat infrastructure, so the cat ECM doesn't have the outputs that we would need that we actually have built into the Cummins or the Detroit to do that. So it'd probably be cost prohibitive to do that, and the twins work pretty well, so I wouldn't... I don't think it'd be worth the effort, to be honest with you.
Yeah, the twins kind of do the same thing as a VG, right, for the most part?
Right, yeah, you've got a big turbo and a small there. With the VG, you've got one turbo that acts as a big turbo and acts as a small turbo. But the twins do a similar thing. They give you a nice broad torque band like that.
All right, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, let's head off to Wisconsin. Nick, welcome to the program.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Kind of carrying on with the theme of the turbos and stuff. I've got a 379 feet with a C12, and I just recently started pulling I've been pulling open flat for the last couple of years, and I had to go to a side kit for one of my customers, and that thing's like pulling a parachute. And probably one of the most irritating things is just the noise pitch of the turbo. It's running... up there around 20 pounds of boost a lot of the time, and it just it hurts your ears after listening to that thing all day. And I'm obviously went in with the understanding I'd be giving up fuel mileage to pull this thing, but is the C12 worth playing around with the manifold and turbo? I've got it's a MBN, it's an early MBN serial number, and it does have the short section of 4-inch pipe right off the turbo. I do not have a pyrometer. I've got all the parts to do it. It's just one of those things I haven't gotten done.
All right. I will answer that question for you. Yes, the C12 is a great engine. You put our manifold and turbo and firebox on it, or program the ECM with the straight-through performance exhaust and the fleet air filters. It's a great engine.
Okay. You just kind of need to just modify her a little. I've had this truck for, you know, almost 7 years now, and it's a great truck. I just, now with the side kit, I don't know. I just would like to see it do a lot better. And
sure,
gave up, you know, a fair amount of fuel mileage. So,
what rear gears do you have?
Yeah, I've got 370s with 13 speed. I think it's 0.75 top gear on that.
Call
and
me
low
someday.
Pro 22s.
Let's talk about that, and I'm going to tell you everything that Carl Kellner did to his and what the dyno. I'll tell you right now, on power level 5. We put 729 horsepower to the dyno, and Carl did everything that we have to it. And then he wanted to take it up to power level 7, and that was on the power box, and we decided not to. 729 was plenty. But he's up in the constant 8 mile per gallon pulling a reefer out of Buffalo with his.
Wow. Okay, great. All right, yeah, well,
okay.
I'll check into that. Thanks a lot.
You give me a call on the landline, and we'll go over everything to do to that C12, but you'll be very happy with it. I think the world of that in.
All right, and we're going to have to wrap it up with that. The music's playing. I've got to get out of here. We will see you next time. If we didn't get to your caller question, give Pittsburgh Power a call. They can help you out, and we'll do it again next weekend. Thanks to Bruce and John and Ethan from Pittsburgh Power. Be safe, be profitable, be fit and healthy. Always do the hard work and master the journey. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Good night, everyone. All right, everybody, we're going to do a second hour here. The board looks pretty full right now. I'll keep you updated if it looks like we're going to have room for more questions. So here we go.
Your money, your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry.
This is Trucking Business and Beyond, the show that puts the money where it belongs.
Back in your pocket.
Welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. The show is all about the business of trucking. We take your calls and answer your questions about trucks, money, fuel mileage, maintenance, tires, taxes, technology, health and fitness on the road, getting started as an owner-operator, finding freight, working with brokers, getting your authority, you name it. We'll talk about it. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call us. I have a couple things I wanted to talk about, but we are just loaded with questions, and it's just an hour tonight. So we're going to get started on some questions. Let's start off in North Carolina. Bill, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. How you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
I know you talked about this in depth on Saturday. I missed it. The Liberty Health Share. Could you give me the Cliff Notes version of that? I'm thinking about signing up with them.
Okay. This is the one thing I want to make clear to people so that they understand. This is not insurance. It's a replacement for insurance, but we can't use the word insurance. We don't use the word deductible. We don't use the word claims. This is a program that will exempt you from Obamacare. So if you have this, you don't have to have insurance and you don't pay any penalties. And what it is, and you're going to hear a lot of different groups. I was listening to another channel yesterday, and I heard many, many commercials for this concept. It was a different company. I've been doing the research on all the companies that are offering this now for the last several months, and this is the company that I decided on. But you can go shop, you know, the others if you want. It's called Medical Cost Sharing. So there are, again, other groups. And these groups have kind of found some loopholes in Obamacare that allow them to offer this. Some of them are new. One of the reasons I went with the company that I'm working with is because they've been around a couple decades, and they have an excellent track record. They have never failed to pay out a share. And that's kind of what we call it. We call it sharing, because the way it works is once they accept you and they give you an amount, you pay in that amount each month, and that amount gets shared to people who have expenses that month. So it's managed month to month. Again, the company that I'm working with has been around a couple decades. This isn't new. It's been working really well for them. They publish all their numbers. So for example, last month, they paid out over $4 million. They paid every claim that comes in. They always do. So a lot of people are worried, well, if it's not health insurance, is it really going to work? Yeah, that's why I went with this company. It works. It's been working for a very long time, and they're good at it. So because they're not health insurance, they're able to write, you know, rules that really work. They're not going to cover a lot of things that people find controversial. You know, they're not going to cover abortion and birth control and sex change operations. And, you know, there's stuff that they choose not to cover. It was designed for people who want to take more responsibility for their own health, their own health care, and their own health cost. But the interesting thing is, it pays out better than any insurance I've ever looked at. So, for example, I'll just give you how mine works. I am 53. I got a single policy because Lisa has something different on her own, and she's happy with hers. I'm 53 and single. Under Obamacare in Oregon, I would have been looking at premiums of about $800 a month next year, which is insane because I never use my health insurance. I pay for things out of my own pocket. I don't go to the doctor very often. I stay pretty healthy. So that was insane to me. I was going to just skip the health insurance and pay the penalty instead. But then I found this is actually cheaper than the penalty. So I get my medical sharing program, and my pay in is $199 a month. Now, I have, let's say there is something that's covered, accidents, illness, doctor visits, emergency room. There's a lot of stuff that is covered. And you can go through the list on the website. It's fairly simple to read. It's in English. It's not like a lot of health insurance policies I've tried to look at. This one's easy to understand. Let's say that I broke my leg and I go to the emergency room and we end up with, you know, $20,000 worth of cost. I would submit that, and they would cover that at 100% after my, what they call an unshared amount. We could look at an unshared amount the same way you would look at a deductible in insurance. They're just saying each year you're going to pay the first $500. For a single person, it's $500. For a couple, it's $1,000. For a family, it's $1,500. That's it. Three deductibles, really simple to understand. And after your deductible, they pay 100% of covered expenses. I have $1 million limit per incident. So if I were to get a brain tumor, and they would pay out up to $1 million on that one incident, and there is no lifetime maximum. So when you look at all of the features of this program, it's better than anything I could find under Obamacare at one quarter of the price. It's really pretty cool. Again, not insurance, it's medical sharing, but it works really well. You're going to start hearing a lot more about this. but this company's been around a long time. Now, the other thing I want to be clear about with people, we did not partner with them in the traditional way we might with other companies we work with. I'm always upfront about who we get money from and who we don't. This company, we have a referral program in place. So we put a lot of time and effort into the research on this. I'd like to make a little bit back. And the way we do that is if you go to our website and sign up, then we will track it through the system and we'll get the referral. Doesn't cost you a penny more. So if you went and tried to research this and pick a company all on your own and you ended up with the same company, you would pay the exact same amount. If you use our link, you're going to pay the exact same amount. We just get a referral fee, which helps us cover our cost.
Yeah, I got information from your website, and I did call them, but I wanted to talk to you about, you know, you explained it a little bit better. So, I'm 64, high blood pressure. You know, I'm looking at 279 a month. And
awesome.
And the only thing I can get that will cover me in the around the country outside of the state of Ohio is Blue Cross, and the minimum premium on that is 808.
Exactly. So here you are,
$5,800 deductible.
That's another. There's another good point there is that there is no network. You don't have to go to a different. You go anywhere you want. You go to any doctor you want. You can use a naturopath. You can use chiropractors. There are cases where they will even cover the cost of supplements. So if you go to, say, a naturopath for your high blood pressure, rather than put you on medication, they may put you on supplements, which are a lot safer, sometimes work just as good or better. The problem is, and traditional insurance won't pay for them. In this case, they will. They will pay for the naturopath. They'll pay for a chiropractor. And if it makes sense, they'll actually pay for the supplements. They, for you, because you did have a pre-existing, what they consider a lifestyle condition, and it can be improved, they will, if you work on improving your blood pressure, they will lower your premiums and your deductible over time, which again is so much better than insurance. Insurance seems to penalize us for getting healthier, and this rewards us for taking control of our own health. That's why I'm so excited about this. So if you didn't hear me talk about this, it is really, really simple. You go to our website, you'll see it right on the link. It says your solution to Obamacare. Click on it, fill out a form that'll take you 15 seconds, and you'll get a link. Even the application process itself only takes about 10 minutes, and many people are getting an answer back within 24 hours. I got an answer back on mine within 6 hours. So great stuff. Go to the website, check it out. Letstruck.com. We will be right back with more stuff. Stick around. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. The website is letstruck.com. We're going to get right back to the phone calls. We are off to Mississippi this time. Axe, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. How are you doing? We spoke about 3 weeks ago. I've been doing a ketogenic paleo diet. I was down 46 pounds at the time. I'm at 52 pounds right now. The last week,
congratulations.
I have had a I've had a major spike in my blood sugar, and I don't understand why. I'm being faithful with it, with the eating plan, but my sugar has jumped up over 200, and it's been as high as 370.
Now, is that a fasting blood sugar or after a meal?
After a meal.
And give me an idea, like when go ahead.
I'm sorry. In the morning, it has been like 270 at times also.
So we have
it's higher.
Fasting. Okay. Are you on any, or were you on, or have you ever been on any blood sugar control medication?
Yeah, I used to be on Victoza and Metformin. Now I got rid of the Victoza, and I'm just taking Metformin right now.
Okay. And tell me about the meal itself when you scored really high, like up in the 300s. What had you eaten, and how long before you took your blood sugar had you eaten it?
I have an avocado with almost every meal.
Okay. Are you there? Uh-oh. Axe? Oh, boy. I think I'm losing you. I'm going to put you back on hold and see if... Oh, no, we lost him. We will have to try to get him back because... I do want to work on him with that. That is a little concerning. It does happen, but we can certainly address that and fix this. This is still a matter of not being sensitive to insulin. You've developed insulin resistance. That's really what type 2 diabetes is insulin resistance. And it's just going to take some time to build that sensitivity back to the insulin, but there are some ways we could address that. I would recommend, if we don't get a chance to get you back, but you hear this, I would recommend that you go on our blood sugar protocol. So if you go to our website, letstruck.com, look in the health section, you'll see protocols, and we have a specific protocol for, and you have hyperglycemia. So we have a different protocol for hypoglycemia and hyperglycemia. So if you look at the hyperglycemia protocol and follow that, we can start to improve those numbers. Let's go to North Carolina. Herb, welcome to the program.
Hello, how are you?
Good. What can I help you with today?
Well, I just got a quick question about bleed air filters. Putting that onto a vehicle, 2016 Volvo. With a D13, I was kind of just wondering if that would void the warranty or any issues with that.
It doesn't, but there is a lot of misunderstanding and misconception about this, and dealers will get this wrong every time. If you ask a dealer this question, they'll say, oh, if you put any of those aftermarket parts on, it's going to void the warranty. That is not true. It's not legal. They can't void a warranty because you made a change. What they would have to prove, if something ever went wrong and you had an aftermarket part, any aftermarket part on an engine, and something goes wrong with the engine, let's say that you put the fleet air filter on and a week later you spin a bearing. They would have to prove that it was the fleet air filter that caused the bearing to fail. And there would be no way to do that. I mean, that wouldn't even work. If they could prove, let's say a product did fail. You put some aftermarket product on, it fails, and the engine out with it. At that point, they do not have to cover that failure because it wasn't their fault. They shouldn't have to. They have a warranty in place to cover things that they've failed on. Either their part failed, their labor failed, something along those lines. But if it wasn't their fault, if their part didn't fail, then they shouldn't have to cover it. But they can't just say your warranty is void because you put this on. You still have a warranty, and each individual event gets looked at. And if they can't prove that the product caused it, then they still have to cover the warranty. Now, let's say the companies we work with, we always make sure of this, by the way. Let's say that you put an aftermarket part on and it does fail and it causes damage to the engine. The companies we work with all have insurance to cover that. So if the manufacturer looks at it and says, oh, no, wait a minute. You know, you put this fleet air filter in and you forgot to oil it. And without the oil, a lot of dirt got through and the dirt caused the cylinders to get polished. Well, at that point, we've identified whose fault it is. It wasn't the engine manufacturer's fault. It wasn't the fleet air filter's fault. It was operator error. Somebody forgot to oil it. Now, if that was a shop, you would have to go back to the shop. They would be the responsible party. If the product itself actually failed, we make sure that the companies we work with have that product liability insurance. So if we could prove, no, the aftermarket part was the problem, then their insurance kicks in and covers it. So as long as you're working with reputable companies on the aftermarket parts, you're covered. You don't lose your warranty. Your warranty still exists, and they have to pay out anything that they have a failure on. And if the product itself fails, we always make sure that there's protection for that as well. And I can tell you, in 10 years of doing this on the air, recommending all these modifications, I've been doing that for 20 years before I was ever on the air. I can remember one time where an aftermarket part failed, took out an engine, and the insurance actually covered it all. But it's pretty rare. It doesn't even happen. Now, I will tell you what's more common is you go to a dealer, they immediately see the part and say, oh, your warranty is void. And you say, no, it's not. That's not how the law works. And then maybe we can educate them because they're just ignorant of this stuff sometimes too. Sometimes they're just trying to get out of doing the work. Other times they're just ignorant, but this is clear. It's in the law. We can go read it.
All right. Well, I appreciate it much.
You're welcome. Thanks for the call. Let's head off to Florida. Ben, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. 2 weeks ago, I replaced my dampener from dampener and a balancer from Pittsburgh Power, and what a difference. I used to get a lot of clapping in the engine, the vibration, what have you, and I'm really happy with it. I also had to replace the radiator and rebuild my fan hub, so I did it all in one shot. Now, the new radiator I got is a 4-row DRC, and similar to what I had before, but I idle quite a bit, you know, loading, unloading, I'm a car hauler, and it seems to run a little warm while I'm sitting idle without the fan on. Going down the road, no issues whatsoever, pulling hills or anything. So any ideas there?
No, I think that one's going to require some troubleshooting. I could make a couple guesses at things, but this is one of those times where I hate to just start guessing and throwing parts at it. This one, you know, if you can get it in a shop that knows what they're doing, they should be able to troubleshoot this pretty quick, though.
Okay. My other question was about an NTP, where and how I can find one around Nashville or, you know.
So when we're looking for NTPs, that it's still a not a designation you're going to find in a lot of places. Sometimes we have to travel a little bit. If you drive, you can always look in a place where, you know, you might be able to get some downtime in the truck. But the place to start looking is the website nutritionaltherapyassociation.com. So, or you can just Google Nutritional Therapy Association. And when you go to their website, you will see a list under, I believe, the menu item is providers. And then you can search by state. And you can go through and see, you know, in any given state, where the NTPs are, what they might specialize in. Some NTPs do complete remote work. The only difference there is you won't get the hands-on physical exam. We are rolling out our consultation where we get all the information submitted to us online. We work with you on the phone. We just aren't going to see you in person and do the physical exam. So you can find both on the website. I'm going to get to a break. We'll be right back. We'll get to more of your calls and questions right after this. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. We're going to get right back to some phone calls. We're going to head off to Mississippi. Chris, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Kevin.
What can I help you with today?
She sent you over an oil sample to look at. I'm curious if it's time to change oil or not.
Okay, so we've got a C15. What year is this?
It's an 06 engine. 07 model truck.
Okay, so any type of modifications done to the emission systems at all, or is this pretty factory?
Still bone stock after 1.1 million.
Okay. Have you noticed, is this engine running hot?
I've been in this truck since it's been brand new, and the oil temperature has always been up 200 to 210.
Yeah, that's not horrible. I think it's probably just time to change the oil. You're at 150,000 miles on the oil and 1.1 million on the engine. So I don't see anything concerning here, knowing that we have a high mileage engine and 150,000 miles on the oil. All this looks pretty standard. It's what I would expect. Even though you're showing up at a level 3, that's because of the oxidation. That's just the oil getting old. So nothing that I see here would concern me about the way the engine is running. Everything looks fine. Soot is low. Fuel dilution is no big deal. The base is even holding up pretty well. The wear metals have been building up over time, but that's what we would expect to see, and it's right about where we would expect to see it. So this is a good sample. It's just a matter of, you know, when you've got a high mileage engine and you get 150,000 miles on the oil, which is still, you know, almost 10 times more than what most people are getting. It's just time to change the oil. But this is actually a good looking sample.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So keep doing what you're doing to be able to get 150,000 miles out of the oil on an engine with over a million. It's a great thing. That's why we love bypass filtration and the OPS so much. If you haven't seen the OPS, check it out in our store. It really is kind of a no-brainer. Go to letstruck.com. Look under modifications. Let's go to Alabama. Jabin, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks for taking my call. Do you know a company that have a good payroll system? I have about, and it's a nightmare trying to manually hand pay everybody.
Yeah, I know of a couple good options that I've used a lot, and the other one I've researched and helped people get started with them in the past. The first one, the one I like, is QuickBooks. What are you using to do your accounting?
Well, I do it myself, you know. I have propagated, but like on my truck, but on operators, I don't do it for them, you know.
Oh, so you're paying owner-operators, not employee drivers.
Got it.
Whole different situation. I'm glad we clarified that then. Skip QuickBooks. That one's not going to work. This one's a little tougher, actually. This is one that there is software out there, but I haven't stayed up on reviewing the software in about 5 years. I used to review this. It got to be a lot of work, and I don't get a lot of questions about this. So I haven't really stayed up on this. Are you a member of NASDAQ?
Yes.
Check with them. They have a really good software suite that they recommend that has a module for this. So, and again, I know it exists. I've looked at theirs in the past. I was fairly happy with it. So I would start
okay, I
with
I think
them.
It's that Mystic software, a Mystic something. I forgot which one it was.
Yeah, that sounds right. I know I looked at it several years ago, and for what was available, I liked it. It looked like it had good support. It looked like it was fairly simple. We will be expanding profit gauges out into this market next year. And I know that's not going to do you any good right now. But we're looking at invoicing and settlement along these lines. So you'd be able to generate a settlement for the owner operators. But if you need something right now, I would check with the program that NASDAQ has. The way that it worked when I looked at it was modules. So if you wanted a module to pay employees, there was one. If you wanted a module to pay owner operators, if you wanted invoicing, if you wanted dispatch, you could just add pieces to it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, because some of them want their check to go direct deposit and some want it mailed to their house. So I was trying to figure out, you know.
Yeah, you know, that's where I would start. And again, that isn't, I used to review that software. There are a couple other programs out there. Honestly, there wasn't anything I was really excited about. That's why it's always been part of our roadmap for profit gauges that we will get there. And next year, we're putting a big, big push on helping more owner operators move to get their authority, become a carrier, actually look at brokering freight or putting on other owner operators. I think there's going to be a lot of opportunity there. So we're going to bring more and more resources to that segment in 2017. Let's go to Chicago. Darius, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
Good. What can I help you with?
Two quick questions for you. As far as the boost, I was going to ask Bruce earlier, but I'm getting two. I have a data star in this truck and a regular gauge. The gauge is reading about 37, 38 pounds on a hard pull. The data star is reading about 27, 28 pounds. And I'm trying to figure out which one's the accurate one to follow. Temps. Usually about 1,000, max about 1,150 on the pyro.
Okay, so what year and what engine?
It's a Series 60 14 liter glider.
Have you made any like performance modifications to it, or is it pretty stock?
It's all stock, 35,000 miles on it so far.
Okay. You know, I'm almost and do you know what the rated horsepower is supposed to be? Is it a 515?
It's 550.
550. Boy, it almost seems like you should be right in between the two. Bruce is better at this. I'm trying to do the math in my head. Typically, the gauge, especially if it's a mechanical gauge, is more accurate. Anything running through the ECM, sometimes, you know, there are lots of things that could cause it to be incorrect. I'm thinking that it's probably, now is that a true mechanical gauge, or do you know, is that gauge also getting its information from the ECM?
I'm thinking it's getting it from the ECM also.
Yeah, then we're going to have to troubleshoot that. It almost seems to me like they're both off. Like it should be somewhere right in between those two readings. 27 sounds too low, 37 sounds too high. And if they're both getting it from the ECM, especially on a new build, they could have something, you know, programmed wrong. I know on the scan gauge, on some engines, it reads a totally different measurement. So we can get a number.
No, my next thing is plugging in the scan gauge and actually checking. I haven't done that yet.
Yeah, you can try that, but what you may end up with is a third number that doesn't make any sense. So, you know, a mechanical boost gauge is really our best option. So, you know, if you get a chance, you know, either put a mechanical gauge on, it's pretty inexpensive, or have somebody look at the ECM that knows what they're doing, and they'll be able to tell you, you know, which one's correct, or that neither one of them are correct, and they'll be able to fix it.
Okay. And the other thing, as far as the OPS, I'm getting ready to put the fast and the OPS on this thing, but as far as doing the OPS, like I said, about 35,000 miles on it, a few oil changes. Is it, should I do it now and go with synthetic or wait for it?
Yes. No, I would do it now. The OPS, I actually like putting it on right when the engine's built, brand new. Synthetic, anytime after 10,000 miles, we've got enough break in that I like to switch to the synthetic and let the engine break in on the synthetic. We just want to get that first oil change or two just to get all the junk out of there. We do those pretty quick and then move to the synthetic. And I like to kind of break it in on the synthetic. We will be right back. We'll get to more of your calls and questions right after this. Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. We're down to the final segment. I'm going to get right back to the phone calls. I think we have Axe back from earlier in the show. Axe, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here, sir. Thank you for taking my call back.
Yeah. So have you looked
totally
at our...
I missed everything you said.
Okay. Yeah, good. Well, I'll go back over it again because it's actually pretty simple. This is not unusual. You type 2 diabetes, you are taking two medications for that. Is really insulin resistance. It's your body saying, your cells. So just a quick example of what happens. When we consume carbohydrates of any kind, that gets converted to sugar in our blood. If we consume too much protein, so you might want to cut back on your protein intake for a while, that can actually get converted to glucose and ends up raising our blood sugar. The only macronutrient that doesn't raise blood sugar is fat. That's why we recommend a high-fat diet. For a lot of other reasons, too. Fat is really healthy, you know, even though we were told for decades it wasn't. But fat, for somebody who has any kind of blood sugar issue, is the one macronutrient that won't spike it. Carbs certainly will. That's how the problem got started. But protein can do it, especially if you are insulin resistant. So what happens is when there's too much sugar in your blood, your body releases insulin. Insulin is a hormone. And insulin takes the blood or takes the sugar out of the blood and moves it into the cells. Once it's in the cells, it's either going to be used as energy or it's going to be stored as fat, one of the two. But what happens after a while is on the standard American diet, and we put sugar and carbs in our body constantly, day after day after day for decades, it's almost like any drug resistance. It's just like a heroin addict who has to keep using more and more heroin more and more often. And at some point, the body just says, enough, we can't take it anymore. That's what happens in diabetes. It's actually not the blood sugar that's causing the problem anymore. It's the fact that your cells won't accept it. The insulin can't open the cell anymore. So this gets fixed over time on a ketogenic diet. The longer you're on it, just like, you know, if you have a drug resistance and you stay away from the drug for a long period of time, your body will reset that sensitivity. So that's really what's going on here. Your body is still very insulin resistant. So any amount of carbohydrate or protein is going to spike your blood sugar, and it has nowhere to go. But you're doing the right thing. The ketogenic diet is absolutely the way you fix this. And if you have you looked at our blood sugar protocol yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so if you go to the website or send us an email, support@letstruck.com, and ask for the blood sugar protocol, or go right to the website. You can find it there, letstruck.com. Look under the health section. You'll see protocols. What we've done is we've taken and put together a group of supplements that will support this on top of the ketogenic diet. Now, I would tell people, look, if you're going to try eating the standard American diet and think our supplements are going to help you, don't bother. You're going to waste your money. But you're already doing the right stuff, and this protocol on top of it will help bring that insulin sensitivity back. So it's a couple supplements that are going to help you digest the fats better so that your body starts using the fat for energy, and some supplements that are going to start helping your body process that sugar and work with the insulin in your body. And this isn't something you have to do forever. You know, with your numbers, I would say no more than 6 months on this protocol, and you should see significant improvements.
Okay. Yeah, I went many years where I didn't do the right thing at all, and I was stuck in that food pyramid that they gave us. And for years, I'm a retired firefighter, and I was 6% body fat when I was a firefighter, and I never changed my eating habits after I left the fire department, and I gained 100 pounds, and everything went to hell quickly.
Yeah, it can certainly happen, but you're doing the right thing now, and I can promise you this is going to get better. Now, I said 6 months. That's the longest you're going to need to be on this protocol. You'll see improvements in 30 days. So keep tracking the blood sugar. Get on the blood sugar control protocol. It's going to make a huge difference. And this goes for anybody who is showing high A1C or high blood sugar. The protocol will really help. Let's go to Michigan. Josh, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. I just wanted to ask, I heard you talking the other day about the Audible and using it to learn the business and learn different things in trucking. And I was just going to ask, what is your number one recommendation on a book to learn ideas behind owner-operator and microfleet? To learn like how to become or get your own authority and things of that nature.
Yeah, so unfortunately there are no books that cover that topic directly. We are we have a goal to put out a book in 2017 on a lot of those issues. You know, we have our program about how to buy your first truck and get started. We're going to take that same model and build how do you move into becoming a carrier, starting a small fleet, but that's not available yet. There really isn't anything. So what you have to do, and this is really what I, when I say Audible, I'm talking about getting a just a good business education and things that help you in business. And my list for those kind of books is long, very, very long, but I'll go over some of my favorites. I really like the book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Now, it's not an easy book. It's not one of those really easy listening books. In fact, I would recommend that not only do you have it on Audible, but I would have a printed copy because there are some things, some visuals in there that you want to go through and some things you're going to want to go back to a lot. So that's one of the books that I actually keep in a printed copy, and I keep it handy because I go back to it a lot. If you go to my Facebook page, you can see a bunch of my recommendations. If you follow me on Goodreads, I've put together some lists. Another really good book, just to give you a general idea about business, a great place to start, Personal MBA. It's by Josh Kaufman. You can find that one on Audible. Anything by Larry Winget, especially two I would recommend. One is, it's called Work for a Reason. That's a good book. And then just one to get you kind of in the right place about money. He's got a book called You're Broke Because You Want to Be. That's got some good stuff in it. And again, I could go on and on and on. I would start with those and then call me once in a while and I'll give you another book to move on to.
All right. I appreciate it. And, just started listening here recently, and this is awesome what you got going here, helping drivers out, and it's awesome. And the call in,
well, thank
the call in and listen works so much better than the radio. that part I think is just like wow.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, thanks for the feedback. Again, keep calling. I've read a couple thousand books on business, so I have lots of recommendations, but those are a great place to start. Now, the ultimate education for what you're talking about is happening next year in September. That is our CMC, Certified Master Contractor event. We may be changing the name because it's growing so much. The CMC part may become a segment of a bigger event. I think we're going to need a new event name. So just to give you an idea of what kind of things you're going to be able to learn at the CMC, this is a 5-day business conference, and we pack the 5 days full of education. We bring in multiple speakers. I'm on the stage about 40 hours that week. I mentioned the books by Larry Winget. Larry Winget has been one of our speakers. We haven't nailed Larry down yet. This year, we are looking at the overall curriculum, but we are bringing in, we always bring in multiple speakers, people who are really, really good at what they do. Lane one is going to be all about buying your first truck and getting started. Lane two is all about owning a truck, leasing to a carrier, and making a lot of money doing it. Lane three is about becoming a carrier, getting your authority and becoming a carrier. And we are working on adding lane four, which is learning all about brokering, getting your broker's authority on top of your carrier's authority and using the two together. So it is a week jam-packed full of education and information. You can sign up on the website, letstruck.com. Or you can give us a call and we can answer all your questions and get you signed up. That number is 855-800-FUEL. 855-800-3835. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Be safe. Be profitable. Be fit and healthy. Always do the hard work and master the journey. I'm Kevin Rutherford. All right, everybody, thanks. We will see you back here tomorrow for Destination Health.